Good evening, class. We're talking about the authority of the body. We're going to take up exactly where we left off last week, dealing with the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12 and 12, and talking about the body of Christ, different members of the body. Then we went to Matthew, I think Matthew 15, verses 18, 15. Let me check my notes out. I want to be sure I'm accurate here. We started from Matthew 15. I think it's 15. Yeah, I'm sorry, Matthew 18, verse 15 through 18. And those scriptures showed us that there can be division in the body, but God desires that the body become of one accord. And unless that body become of one accord, it hinders God from getting his will done upon the earth. And we talk about that the different relationships can be severed, like parents can be a relationship and the children can be severed. Several children go against their parents, parents against the children. Employers can dismiss an employee, or employee can just dismiss and say, I'm not going to work for my employer again. That relationship can be severed. And then there's other institutional relationship that can be severed. But he said the body of Christ cannot be severed. The head cannot be separate from the body. They're totally inseparable. There's an inseparable relationship between Christ and his body. But Christ designed that every member of the body walk in union as one. And the Bible teaches that. And so that's why Jesus talks so much on forgiving one another. If you have aught against any, forgive. You see, that your heavenly Father may forgive you your trespasses. God always wants to bring the body of Christ together. God, Paul said in Ephesians, I need to look at that in Ephesians 4. He talks about having a certain relationship. And this is talking about, I'm going to find it. Give me a second here. Give me a second. Ephesians 4. I want to read it, because God do not want division in the body. God do not want division in the body. Look what he says here. He said in that 29th verse, Ephesians 4:29, he's trying to keep a union within the body. God do not want division in the body. It says in the 29th verse, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that they may minister grace to the hearers. Did that sound like division? No, that sound like to stop division, to stop being separable. And then look what he's saying now. When you're divided, oh my goodness, listen to this scripture. He's saying when you're divided as sisters and brothers in Christ, as sisters and brothers in this body of Christ, he says, this 30 verse there, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. See, when people divide, the Holy Spirit get grieved. You can witness it yourself. When you get in awe with one of your sister and brother, you know there's a grieving going on. That's why your conviction come to you. And that's why you got to get it right, because you just grieve the Holy Ghost when you've awed against your brother and sister, or when you had awed against them. And so God want us to walk in union with one another. And so there can be division within the body, but God knows how to get the body back into track. You see it? God knows how to get the body back in track. You see, because the head cannot be separated from the body. And the body cannot be separated from the head. If you do, you've just gotten out of the will of God, and God cannot proceed. You hear what I said? God cannot proceed. He cannot proceed in your life. You stop the hand of God in your life, and you stop the will of God upon the earth temporarily until God gets this thing straight. I remember when Miriam came against Moses, and she spoke against Moses. The Lord don't just speak to you, Moses. The Bible said it stopped the whole procession of the children of God headed to the promised land. They stopped the whole train. It stopped the whole multitude, congregation, from moving. They had to stop for 7 days because Miriam got out of order. And God said, we got to get this thing straight. God said, we can't move until we get this thing straight. Sometime within the church. Sometime you might do something to hinder the church. And you think he didn't harm nobody but you, but it stopped the progression, and God can't move until this matter gets straight. So God wants to avoid all disorder in the church. God wants to avoid anything that separates us from one another. God, because it stopped his hand from moving, and God can't proceed, and your life gonna stop on hold. Your whole life get on hold. When you open the door for division, your life stop working. When I say your life stop working, I mean God can't, the blessing stop. I mean God want to keep you flowing. But you can't do that unless you do what's here. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Look what he said. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Why did God steal us? Because God, once we steal, God know that if we are sealed, God know we can go on with this thing unhindered. I don't want to make the same mistake twice. Once I get checked by the Holy Ghost, I say, Lord, I don't want to have no more in my life. I don't want to grieve you no more, especially in this area. Then saying that 31st verse, just to keep us in line. I didn't mean to go in this direction, but sometimes we don't know what hinders the church. We think we're just dealing with me and my four no more. But you deal, well, when one member suffers, it's caused the whole body to suffer. Yes, it does. That's why I say in this 31st verse, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. My goodness. Well, why am I going here? I'm going here because these little foxes spoil the whole vine. See, the body of Christ, you think it's not affecting the body of Christ. But if you remember the body of Christ and you got these things going on in your heart and affecting one of your sisters or brothers, might be your husband, might be your children, but it's affecting him, because if you don't make this correction, it's going to hinder you, and it's going to hinder your relationship with the church. Yeah. The anointing going to stop flowing for you. Yeah, because you didn't grieve the Holy Ghost. Yeah, and we got to get this thing straight. In the 32nd verse, got the whole answer to the whole thing. He gave us the whole answer to the whole matter here. This whole matter is solved right in the 32nd verse. But you got to listen to it. Look what he said. And be ye kind. Be what? I say, be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Not hardhearted. Tenderhearted. Even to your spouse. Even to your children. Even to your sister and brother. Even to your family that look like they don't want to get along with you. Be kind. Be tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Yeah. If they did you wrong, you got to forgive them. Why? Even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. My goodness. God forgave you of all our ugliness and all our nasty ways and all our stupidity and all of our shortcomings. Why we can't forgive one another? Why we just can't let it go? Why we can't say, I forgive you. I'm not holding that against you. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? You see it? God always for union. For the body of Christ. Now I can move on now. Now I can move on, Claire, because I need to get this out to you so you can know what's going on. In spite of love parents have toward their children, I'm still talking about this trick of the devil trying to keep this order within the body of Christ. In spite of the love parents have toward their children, they are liable to misuse their authority. Yes, you can. Yeah, I love them. I love you. I brought you in the world. I'm going to take you out. I know people say that. Most times they don't mean it, but they get angry sometimes. But that relationship can be severed if it's not repaired. Similarly, governments may issue wrong orders, or employees may abuse their authority. In the world, authority as well as obedience are all imperfect. Can you agree with that? Authority as well as the obedience, or obedience as well as authorities always have a tendency to be imperfect. But why this? This explains why God desires to set up perfect authority and a perfect obedience in Christ and the church. That's the only place where the perfect authority and perfect obedience be established, Christ and the church. They being the head and the body. Parents might even sometimes hurt their children, husband, their wife, employers, their employees, and governments, their people. But no head will do harm to his own body. The authority of the head is not subject to error, but is perfect. You see it? It's perfect. The authority of the head in relation to the body of Christ is perfect. Christ is a perfect head. And that's what Paul taught in Ephesians 4, that we may grow up into him. Let's read Ephesians 4. We got to see this, because this thing is coming together, and we got to see what the Spirit of God is really saying to us concerning Christ and the church. Christ, everybody say that with me, Christ and the church. We're going to look at Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Look what it says in Ephesians 4 and 11. As soon as I find it, I'm going to read it. What did I say? I said, as soon as I find it, I'm going to read. I can't read before I find it. Oh, God, Jesus. I'm trying to read out this Amplified Bible here. I get it. I just hold tight. I get it. Here it is. Just hold on, I'm coming. Let me get it on my laptop here. Ephesians 4 and 11. Look what it says. Listen to this. We know the 11 verse talk about he gave some apostles, some prophets, some very important. But the 12 verse is what I'm going to get to. Let's look at the 12th verse. He gave these pastors, prophets, apostles, pastors and teachers and so on. For the 12th verse said, for the perfecting of the saints. One translation said, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. The 13th verse said, till we all come into the unity of the faith. You see, the body of Christ cannot become unity till a certain amount of maturity come. You see, when they put away some of these things, put away backbiting, put away these little menial things that separate us as children of God. Paul also said, I think in 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a man, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, did things as a child, but when I became a man, I matured. Or I put away childish things. As you grow in Christ, some things you just let it go. You put it away because that's an area of maturing. You know, you don't have to, sometimes you just got to shut up and don't say nothing. But when only mature people can just shut up and don't say nothing when the people are saying things wrong. Till we all come into unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, a mature man. One man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, the church got to come to the maturity of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And when that church begins to mature, and I think what the Spirit of God is doing now, even with all this pandemic, everything going on, the government all confused, everybody confused. I mean, the laws are confused. They don't know. It's just confusion in the world system, but the church should be shining, and I think God is maturing the saints right now. All things work together for good, them that love God, them will call their prayer. See, right now in the midst of this, God is maturing the church to do the work of the ministry. So, we're putting down these things, and we're picking up some other things that glorify, edify the body of Christ. It's not nothing to do with you. It's not nothing to do with me. Whatever glorified God and edified the body, that's what I want to do. It's not about me no more. You see it? So that was God. He's trying to bring us to a place where there's perfect submission between the body and the head, which is Christ. Now, likewise, the obedience of the body to the head is perfect. As soon as the head conceives an idea, the fingers move naturally, harmoniously. That sounds like a mature body, huh? Soundlessly. Now see that, now, that word, it don't fit right there. Harmoniously, you know, vigorously, soundlessly. In other words, without sound. God intends for us is that we render complete obedience. He will not be satisfied until we are brought to the same degree of our obedience as is a body to the head. In other words, we want the body to be in harmony with the head and the body become one with the head. That's Christ. We got to begin to think like Christ as he is, so we in the world. We got to begin to, the Apostle John said, as he is in the world, so are we. That means we are just like Christ in this world. He's talking about us as the body. We begin to think with Christ. We begin to believe like Christ. We begin to walk like Christ. Guess what? We're going to become him as a body upon the earth. Then God's going to have perfect obedience with us at this level of maturity increasing. This goes beyond what can be represented by the relationship of the husband and wife. Go beyond that. Since husband and wife are separate entities, but in Christ, these two are one. He is the obedient, he is the obedience as well as the authority. They are one in him. This differs from the world because in that sphere, authority and obedience are two separate things. Not so the body and the head. Talking about the head of Christ. The movement of the body requires little effort from the head. The body moves graciously at the slightest impulse from the head. You ever notice that? You don't have to force your members to move when the head want to do something unless there's something going on with it. You see? And that's like the, unless there's an ailment in the body. Well, that's the same thing with the spiritual body. It can't move readily when there's an ailment in it. That's why God won't get the ailment out of it. So sometimes, but mostly, ordinarily, in your physical body, with a slight movement or instruction from the head, the body moves readily through the command of the body. I don't have to think to do this. I made one little thought and lift both hands. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Just to walk, move, turn around. I mean, my body just do whatever my head tells it to do. My hand didn't auger, my feet didn't auger. My eyes don't auger. Perfect obedience. I'm trying to get a lesson across here. See, my body's in union with my head. You see it? Because they're perfectly joined together by God. It does exactly with little movement at all, with little effort at all. My body functions properly. And so I'm trying to show you a relationship with the head, with Christ, with little effort. See, God should have a little effort to get enough to do something. Oh, Lord, we got prayer meeting tonight. Oh, I sure don't feel like going. Oh, we got praying in the Word tonight. Lord, I went last Tuesday night. Why I got to go again? Lord, you know my heart, Jesus. And then see those little things like that. Oh, another Monday coming conference. We just had one last month. We got another one this month. Now, what are we saying here? See, that's a restriction. There's something going on in the body that's not bringing perfect obedience in the body. God removing all of that. God's trying to get the body of Christ somewhere, someplace, in a hurry. God don't have time to be fooling around these days. You got to get in and get on it. I'm telling you what I know. How opposite this is from subjection through subjugation. After one has learned more about obedience, he will be shown the difference between God's command and God's will. Now, that's a good point. You're going to be shown the difference between God's command, if they're different now, and God's will are two different things. You see? And once you understand them both separately, you can move on better because they're different. Watch, I'm explaining it to you. God's command and God's, what did I say? God's command and God's will. They're different. Command must be uttered, but will can be silent. Command, remember I said this, command can be uttered, but will can be silent. I'm going to bring more understanding to that. The Lord Jesus moved in accordance with both God's will and his word. God's will and his word is his command. In similar fashion, God will work in his people until the relationship between Christ and the church fits the same pattern as the relationship between God and his Christ. Now, that's what we're trying to get to. God wants the church to come in the same relationship as Christ and God toward God's will, as Christ obeyed God's will upon the earth as a pattern, as an example. I do whatever my Father say to do. I don't do nothing unless my Father tell me to do. I speak as he speak. Whatever he say, I do. Now, that's perfect obedience, perfect will in command and will. We're going to deal with this command and will in a little bit. Command can be spoken, you see, but will is something that's birthed in you. Will is the birth. It's a revelation. Now, watch this now. You got to have them both. You see, God's will and his word. Now, that the Christ set the pattern, right? What I said, Christ set the pattern. The first phase of God's work is to make himself Christ's head. What the first phase is? The first phase of God's work is to make Christ. God made Christ the head of the church, right? What I said, God made Christ the head of the church. That's the first phase of it. Christ is the head of the church. We're his body here. All right. The second phase is to make Christ the head of the church. The first phase is do what? To make Christ the head. God made Christ. Let me read it again so you can understand it. The first phase of God's work is to make himself Christ's head. Now, I think I can say it where you can understand better now. The first phase of the church is for God to make himself the head of Christ. God is the head, God is over Christ. That's the first phase. Christ and God made himself Christ's head. Christ is submitted to God, right? Now, here's the second phase. The second phase is to make Christ the head of the church. God is Christ's head. And then the second one is Christ the head of the church at the second phase. And the third phase is to make the kingdom of this world the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ. Now, I want you to follow me close. First phase, God made himself Christ's head. Second phase over here, God made Christ the head of the church. And the third phase is God made Christ the head of the kingdom or the body of Christ. In other words, God is not satisfied till this earth become his kingdom. And God's kingdom can't reign until God's people begin to go and take territory and do exploits for God, that the kingdom of the world become the kingdom of Christ. Conversion, bringing men and women to the kingdom of God. I hope I'm being understood what I'm saying here. God is not satisfied till the kingdom of the world become the kingdom of Christ. God, the head of Christ. Christ, the head of the church. And then God want the church to bring the kingdom, bring the world into the kingdom of God. That's better said. I'm not trying to complicate it. I'm trying to simplify it. God want the church to bring the world kingdom and make it the kingdom of God. Is that plan simple? Plan simple ways to go out and win souls. Bring the church to go out and do exploit and make the world the kingdom of God. And that the whole operation, that the whole plan of God. The first phase, second phase, third phase, is that the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ to become the world, the kingdom of this world become the kingdom of the Lord and his Christ. The first phase has already been accomplished. The third phase is yet to come. Today we are in the middle phase. In other words, the kingdom of this world is still being worked upon, becoming the kingdom of Christ. That phase is not totally completed yet. That's where we come in at. Assisting God in his divine plan to make the kingdom of this world to be the kingdom of his Lord and the kingdom of Christ. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel, Jesus said in Mark and Matthew. You see, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That making the kingdom of this world the kingdom of our Christ. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. That's God's first love, to go into the world. That's God's divine will from heaven to earth. That's God's will of taking the earth and the world, making it, bringing it into himself. Make the world the kingdom of God, children of God. Bring them into the kingdom. That's God's heart. God wants to reunite a new family together. And that's why this Slack app, what the apostle is doing, is right smack in the middle of God's plan, and we got to get with our spiritual leader and back this thing, because this is so divine. This is God's first love, and God is excited. The angels in heaven are rejoicing, and now this revelation is coming to light, and what the will of the church is, and what God wants the church to be doing right now. There's no doubt what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I have no doubt. And some people, sometimes you want that pulpit ministry. Yeah, thank God for the pulpit, man, but everybody can't be in the pulpit ministry. God got the ministry out in the world. The field is white. The field is already white, he said. Then he said the harvest truly is plenteous. Yeah, I mean, every time you walk, you see somebody not born again. But the laborers are few. That's God's first love. That's the third phase. We're in the third phase of God's plan here. Are we here to obey, so that God may have his way, or do we disobey and thus hinder God's work? Oh, what a statement. I'm going to read that one more time. Are we here to obey so that God may have his way, or do we disobey and thus hinder God's work? Every time we refuse the Great Commission, we're somehow hindering God's work a little bit. I don't want to be hindering God's work. Oh, it might go against my flesh sometimes. I might not want to talk. Sometimes people don't treat you right. That's not what it's all about. It's about doing the will of God. But blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness. For they, if you've never been persecuted for righteousness, you ain't doing nothing. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. See, that's the plan of God. That we get out there. And yeah, you might get your feeling hurt a little bit. Yeah, people might say, I don't want your Jesus. Yeah, one man, I talked to one man one time. And boy, he said, you can't prove to me. Nobody knows what they're doing. You can't prove to me that Jesus is the Son of God. I said, yes, I can. I said, oh, I can tell you, but if you don't believe it, that's not my fault. I don't have to prove it. I don't have to try to prove Jesus to you. All I know is men that believe God made them the sons of God. It's not so complicated to prove. It's to believe. Our job is not to prove. Our job is to preach the gospel and let them believe. If they don't believe, they're going to reject him. They're on their own. Their blood, own blood is upon them. You see it? You see it? All we do is pray and obey. Go out in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, I hope you get this point. I went through all this. I started with the class from last week. I'm trying to bring this point home here. What the authority, the purpose of the authority of the body, the purpose of you learning this lesson of obedience. Yeah, you're supposed to obey your spiritual leader. Why? So you can obey God through your spiritual leader. Yeah, so you can be submitted to do the work of this ministry. I see this whole plan of redemption. I see this thing coming together. I see what God is doing these last days. I see why God permitted this pandemic. I see why God got permitted the government to be all confused. So our trust can't be in man, but in the spirit of the living God. God is separating the church from this world system. If you don't separate yourself from the world system, God can't reuse it like you want him. Yeah, it's the truth. Now, God had been living, God had been trying to establish his authority in the universe, and the key to it is the church. God can't get authority in the universe no other way than through the church. We are the body of Christ. You are the church. And so your body don't belong to you. No, you're not. That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. You're not your own. You've been bought with the price. So your body don't belong to you. So we need to do what God wants to do. Quicken her. The church stands in the middle, serving as the pivot in this. God clothed us with much more glory. Upon our shoulders rest the responsibility of manifesting authority. Oh, what a responsibility. You're manifesting God's authority upon the earth. Every time you speak the word of God and tell people about Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is the authority. He's the head, we're the body, and you're manifesting God's authority on the earth every time you witness. That's why this lesson is so important. This is the sum of all things right here, what we're talking about. This is the nitty-gritty. This is what you call for this reason. Sometimes we get our calling mixed up. Sometimes we want to call so we could be called doctor this and reverend this. And I don't thank God for the titles. Thank God for titles. But I tell you what, I really just obey God. I always say, I never carry the title. I really know what I'm called for right now. But all I do is do with God. See, I don't be dwelling with that. 30 years now, almost 37 years I've been ministering the gospel. Never called myself anything. I just do whatever God says to do. You see it? Yeah, the call and take care of itself. People can call me this and call me that, but I don't take a hold of none of them. I just want to obey God because my faith is not in the reverend, in the doctors, and my faith is in it. It's okay if people honor you with that. That's fine. People respect you with that. Yeah, they call me that all the time. Hey, reverend and this and reverend that. But that don't really move me. I just want to obey God in everything. I just want to do my part in the body of Christ. See, because I get caught up in title, then something I might not want to do. Oh, ain't God ain't called me. Yeah, but God called me. I do anything God tell me to do. I do anything my apostle tell me to do. I'm telling you, that's the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. You got to get to that place. You got the place where I just want to obey God. You see it? And get out of this rat race of religion. What the rat race of religion? Trying to get titles and be made yourself somebody when God wants you to be a nobody. So he can make you somebody. Hope you're listening to what I'm saying here. Hope you're listening to what I'm saying. You see it? For the body to obey the head is the most natural thing in this spiritual life right now. For the body to obey the head. God has provided that the head and the body should share one life and one nature. I'm going to say it again. God had provided that the head and the body of Christ, which we are the body of Christ, should share one life and one nature. We're one in him. He's in me and I'm in him. You see it? There's no, that we're one. We're one with God. We're one with Christ. We're one with the Holy Ghost. It is therefore most natural for the body to obey the head. It's therefore more natural for the body to obey the head. Indeed, in such a relationship, disobedience would be strange. You see it? Disobedience, for example, it is normal for the hand to be raised as the instruction of the head. Should the hand fail to respond, something would be wrong. In like manner, the spirit of life which God has given us is one and the same. As that which the Lord has so is the is natural. I'm going to read that again. Let me read it again. Let me find the beginning of this thing I was reading here. It's a long statement I'm about to read. It is therefore most natural for the body to obey the head, period. Indeed, in such a relationship, disobedience would be strange in this relationship. For example, it is normal for the hand to be raised at the instruction of the head. Should the hand fail to respond, something would be wrong. In like manner, the spirit of life which God has given us is one and the same as that which the Lord has. So is that nature of our life the same as His? In other words, the same spirit that God gave Christ, He gave it to us. The same nature that God gave Christ is one and the same. It's staying with us. Thus, there's no possibility of discord and disobedience. One Lord, one Spirit. There's no possibility of discord and disobedience. In our physical body, some movement are conscious while others are automatic, because the head and the body are so united that obedience includes both the conscious and the automatic. That's why we're talking about some orders are silent. For instance, one can breathe a deep breath consciously, or one can breathe naturally without any conscious effort. Our heart beats automatically. It does not wait for any order. This is the obedience of life. The head solicits the obedience of the body without noise or compulsion, void of conflict, and perfectly harmonious. But many people today will only obey commands. And that's my point I was trying to get earlier. Some people just want a command. You see, they haven't gotten to the natural flow of the Spirit. That you got to be told everything to do. You don't have to be told everything to do. You got the same Spirit that God gave Jesus. You see it? I hope you see it. This is not adequate. What? Only obeying by command. This is not adequate, for behind command lies the will. And in the will is the law of life. Now, perfect obedience can only be reckoned as obeying the law of life. Anything less than that, or anything less than what a body renders to his head, cannot be taken as obedient. In other words, so if my body don't respond to my order from my head, that's not obedience. And it's unacceptable in God's sight when we don't respond to our head. It's not obedience, it's rebellion. False obedience does not meet the yardstick of obedience. The Lord has put us in his body, wherein is complete union and perfect obedience. It is truly marvelous to see the mind of the Holy Spirit work, but in the members who are not even conscious of being different members become their relatedness. I got to read that over again. Do I have time to read this over again? It is truly marvelous to see the mind of the Holy Spirit worked out in the members who are not even conscious of being different members, because their relatedness is so indivisible and their coordination so harmonious. Sometimes we do not even need to think in order to coordinate the function. That's powerful. What you're saying is the relationship becomes so mature, so harmonious, that the body, it didn't complete obedience to the head, and it flows so evenly, so smoothly, that it just become a natural functioning of us yielding to the Spirit of God. We don't even have to think about it. When Spirit begins to speak to us, we just move by impulse, without even a direct will. I don't need a dream or vision to tell me to go witness. No, there's a compulsion of the Spirit. And when I get that leading of the Spirit, I act in harmonious to the will of the Spirit and obey God at every turn. Once you begin to train yourself in that area, then God can use you like he wanted to use you. Okay, class, I'll see you next week.